This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome back to the Keith Cheggers podcast. This is episode 8. I'm Hannah Norris and I'm here with my hungover husband.
Carl Donnelly.
That's very good. Good work at saying your name. About half an hour ago, I didn't know if that was going to be able to happen.
I was making so many noises on the train. Do you know when you're hungover and you just keep going, I kept saying, oh God.
And we had a conversation that was like a conversation you have with a baby or a toddler where
just mumbling noises.
Just went, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, I just went, okay. I am alive.
Yes.
I'm back in the game.
With a coffee and some chocolate.
Coffee.
Bosh.
Water.
You saved.
Yeah, we're here with our guest. And this is a woman who's amazing and a comedian, and she did an amazing show in Edinburgh this year called Hench, which she's doing in London as well. I think some more dates at Soho Theatre and coming to Melbourne, which is exciting for the comedy festival. And she does her own podcast called Hoovering, and it's Jess Fostercue.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for remembering everything I've ever done. That's one of the loveliest introductions I've ever had.
I know you've done way more things than that.
No, I haven't really. Those are the main things.
Really?
Do
you do voiceovers?
A little bit, not much, you know. I think it gets assumed that I do a lot more voiceovers than I do because I've got a deep voice. But no, I don't. I would like to do more because that is such easy money.
It's the easiest money. I'd love to do it.
Yeah,
but I've got too much of a sort of. I don't say my T's properly and all that. I'm too much of a sort of South Londoner.
That gives you character, though.
Huh?
That gives you character. Yeah, natural character.
I can't even say my own name.
You just did.
Today.
Carl.
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 Carl Donnelly.
You can say it. I just can't say it.
I did it in a voiceover voice, like Toast of London.
Yeah. We can use this as an audition for you, if you
Thank
like.
Thank you. Yeah, get this on the old show reel and fingers crossed that those lotto ads will come running in.
So what we are here to talk about, though, not just our differing talents and voiceover skills, is pregnancy, because that is what's happening in my life at the moment. Currently 13 weeks.
Yes. Woohoo!
I'm so excited. Yeah. Which I think I said yesterday to the first person, I said, I'm pregnant, which anyone who's been listening to previous episodes have seen that I can't say that without laughing or going, there's a baby in me, I'm kind of sort of pregnant. Maybe I'm pregnant. Just that word I found so full on to kind of identify with as that's my current
position. Oh God, it's so terrifying. But also I think unless it's not your first or you're really ill with it, I remember feeling like an imposter, how do I know? Yeah. Are they sure?
Yeah.
I mean, they've only checked a few times.
Well, that's the thing.
So, I mean, it just doesn't feel real for a long time. That doesn't seem to get chatted about that much, actually. Before
Hannah's 12-week scan, there was a period of a couple of days where you were like, is it still in there? Genuinely.
Yeah, because that change
might
sort
have
of,
crawled out.
I kind of, I had kind of come out in a wee or
just crawled out your ear in the night.
I was feeling, I felt quite nauseous.
Yeah.
But I wasn't too, I definitely didn't have bad morning sickness.
Oh, good.
But then it was coming to the end of that and I was starting to feel more normal again, which is definitely how I'm feeling now. I'm feeling pretty normal.
Yeah.
So we had a scan last week. If we hadn't had that, I would be convinced it had gone out my ear.
In the sleep.
And
then, so how exciting, but also terrifying for the scan. Did you enjoy it?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
Cool. We'd had two little ones earlier on because we did IVF.
So right.
We had ones just to check the heartbeat at week 7 and 8. But that's all you could see on it, just a flickering.
That's all there. That's all that's going on, isn't it, really?
It's amazing.
It's just some cells with a heart in it.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's so, so terrifying. Weird.
Get out of me.
But the heart is going so fast.
Yeah. Oh, God, doesn't it? I forgot that.
Yeah.
It goes way, way hard. You're like, is it all right?
Yeah.
It's meant to do that.
Yeah. 160 beats a minute.
Shit, right now. The bed. Yeah. Stressed out. Yeah. Really stressed out little ballers. Well, it's busy. Busy
growing.
Little bean.
Busy
so
yourself.
Busy.
But then last week's one was when, that's a baby, isn't it? You can actually see it. And it's proper like on the wriggles around.
I wish you could see Carl dancing.
I'll do a boomerang of it later.
Yeah.
We can share it with everybody. Yeah, and that with the scan, obviously we got to have a printout, a photo, which we put in a little frame.
Yeah.
And put under the TV so you can watch TV and go, oh, there it is. It's there. It's also in me, but there it is.
Oh.
Looking at it, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
And I had I had my birthday party yesterday because I turned 40 last week.
Yeah.
And that's why Carl is hungover.
Yes. He's hanging.
I was drinking for two.
Yeah.
Yes. For three, probably, because I wasn't drinking either.
I was drinking for so many people yesterday. We put on a lovely big spread, and like, it was really grown up party. Started at 2 PM Sunday.
Yeah,
we're like, let's just have a lovely start early, finish early.
Yeah. And obviously, not how it works,
yeah. No,
it?
What happens is you just end up drinking for extra 5 hours that you wouldn't have tagged on.
Oh, God, it's so fun at the time, though.
Because I'd also put in that time frame because I'd invited people when I was in the, 5, 6, 7 weeks pregnant, when I was tired as shit.
And
couldn't, like, the idea of trying to be awake and with people around after 9 o'clock, I was like, no, thank you, fuck that. But I stayed awake till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God, off the lash.
Yeah, just there.
Madness.
That's incredible.
Madness.
That's absurd.
Yeah, I was
limonek.
I think if I was
you're
out.
You're going to be a great mum. Yeah, that kind of social stamina.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That's
amazing.
And the fun way you announced it, Hannah hung, like, so it's obviously it's Christmas here at the minute in our flat. And
this
was
my plan.
It was birthday as well. There was a big, like, 40 balloon.
Like people have on Instagram. That's what I was
right.
Like,
but Hannah made a, what would you say, what is
like
it called?
A banner, glitter kind of banner.
That said, we're having a baby. But it went across the window. And we just thought, let's not tell people. Let's see someone notices it. And it happened. Everyone just noticed it over the course of the day at different times.
Oh, lovely.
So they were like, what? And then they got excited.
Oh.
I realized because it looks a bit like having a baby looks a little bit like happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I reckon some people might have just kind of seen it and not read it at all. So that was my, like, because of that thing again of not being able to say I'm pregnant very well and like making an announcement kind of, but not being too, just going, if you notice it, you notice it. And that we had the little ultrasound there.
And
people was all like, of course, like, what's that doing there? That
I love it.
In the frame.
It's a very lovely way of doing it.
Do you remember, did you do anything announcey?
No, I don't think I did anything announcey. I have, like, really vivid memories of how I told some family, and I don't think I did things very well.
Go.
Very organised. I was at my mum's when I did the test.
Yeah.
So, horrifically, I just had to tell my mum straight away.
Yeah.
So I told my mum before I told my partner. But he was at work anyway, and I was like, I got it in my head. I was like, right, what do I do then? I'm not home for another 24 hours. I don't want to ring him. I want to tell him to his face.
Yeah.
And that, it transpired from how upset he was a terrible idea. And I should have run him because actually he was like, well, technically six people. Because the next day I saw my dad and I told my dad. And then and they obviously would have told their partners who would have told my sister. He was like, six people knew before me that I was going to become a parent. I was like, well, I fucked that right up. but, you know, you live in my head. I was like, he's going to want that face to face, that information.
Yeah.
And I want to see his reaction in his face. No, I don't want that to even be over WhatsApp video. Come on.
Yeah.
But then I need to keep a blooming trap shut. But my mum would have got a whiff that something exciting was happening. And then my the father of my kids parents, again, he chose how we told them, and I don't think we did that particularly nicely either. He just put it off for ages and ages and ages.
About how far?
I reckon I can safely say on a podcast, they're not the most shit-hot communicators.
Yes.
Yeah. As a family. And we would gone to meet them for dinner, and I'd said to Mikey, please do it tonight, because I'm just going to start really... I'm going to get pissed off unless you can just tell them. That I'm, you know, we're going to be properly showing. Can you just tell them? We had a print out of the scan, you know, it was all... it got to about three quarters of the way through the dinner, and I was like, we're going to have a massive row if you don't get on with it.
Yeah.
And and he just did it. They were in the middle of a conversation. So they're all on the spectrum. But they're in the middle of a conversation about something completely different. And before she knew what was happening, he was just shoving a picture of the scan under his mum's nose.
Yeah.
To the point where she was like, what's that? Sorry, do you mind? I'm actually talking to Brian. What is that, Mike? What is that? What is that? Like that. And he was like, what do you think it is? And that's how she found out she's going to become a grandparent. Amazing. For the first time. Very charming. No, horrific. We bollocks both of the announcement types right up. And no, I think I don't think I put something on social media even. I think I had an enormous version of your thing of not being like, I'm not sure I'm pregnant, to the point where I think my version of that lasted into parenthood of going, yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying this, but
I am not
a mother. Even now it's like, am I?
Yeah.
4 years on. But because I don't... It's so enormous what that identity entails. I'm just not sure I'm... Or I'd rather be someone... That's one of the things I do rather than the one thing I am.
Yeah. But that's, I think, what... Like when you were saying about when you first started looking around for information, when you once we knew that I was pregnant, like, and how a lot of it... Even, you know, books and everything, a lot of them are so, like, they're written by people that just it is, that's all their life. Their whole life, their whole existence is that.
Yeah. Or it's something they've been waiting for and, like, really can't wait for that moment. And
it is that thing of, I think, most people we know, maybe it's because of the worlds we work in, have quite a strong identity already of what they do. And, like, I think a lot of people we know become parents and, it just becomes a part of their life rather than it's not all encompassing.
Absolutely, yeah. Completely. And actually find the idea of just having that one element to your being so intimidating.
Yeah.
And great for people that are into it.
Yeah.
But I think also just sort of feel your way along with it as it's going along. That the more pregnant I got, the more I felt like reveling in it. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it. And I was lunatic with how much I wanted a baby. I was an absolute mentalist about it
for about four
years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I knew when I was about 21 that I wanted kids.
Yeah.
And I remember even my mates down in Dorset, I've got a group of women mates in Dorset and a group of women mates I made at uni. And then now another bunch from comedy. And the Dorset ones are the most... they've got similar age kids, and the others are all just beginning to think about it, but we're all similar age, so it's funny that these different, but every single one of them when I was 21 was like, easy,
right,
calm down.
Yeah.
But by the time I got to, I had Rudy when I was 32, and I think by the time I got to about 29, I was like, I annoyed myself, and it wasn't sane. I remember at one point somebody was talking to me about a documentary about these massive crabs in Japan, and as they were talking, and it's really interesting, and as they were talking, I used to have a bit of stand-up about it, but I genuinely thought to myself, I saw a baby move sideways once. And I was like, well, that's, you're mad. What the fuck was that? You were interested in what they were saying. Yeah. What was that? But it was just like, get it done. And
That came from a primal
animal.
It's not like, oh my god, I've got to do that before this time, or it was just
and in that way I feel like it's similar to lots of very primal things, you know. I'm glad it's there, and I'm happy, I'm privileged and honored to be able to answer that call, but it feels very similar to those times where you are, other times where your emotions and hormones have led you to a point of where you can't intellectually override it, like any kind of mental health issue or any falling in love or any grief or anything where you cannot intellectually override what your body is screaming at you. It was that And actually, I think in those situations, as far as you're possible or able to, it was just a case of like, as soon as I can, I will.
But then saying that it was 4 years, why did it end up?
Oh, that was just because I laid my cards on the table with my then partner, but he was like, wanted a bit of time to decide, fair enough, if that's absolutely what he wanted. And then he decided it was, but he wanted 2 years to get certain things in his life in place. Yeah, that's kind of how he works. I had a lot of girlfriends say to me, dude, like, he's stalling, he doesn't want kids. And I was like, no, you don't know how he works.
Yeah.
He'll say 2 years, it'll probably mean a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but that is how he works. He goes, he takes ages over everything, and he has... He likes a lot of order and...
preparation.
Yeah, and preparation, I guess, psychological preparation. Yeah. And so, yeah, I was waiting for him, really. Yeah. And then, yeah. And I guess, you know, our foundations were a bit deeper, and we'd been together that bit longer. We'd been living together that bit longer.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
Up to a certain point, all those things are helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I mean, Carl and I were just talking a couple of nights ago on the sofa saying... Because we've been together for 5 years.
Yeah.
So that thing of we've had a good time, you know?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
We were not together before that and had a good time.
Well, that's it, yeah. I'm quite excited about the concept of being able to say, no, I can't go out because I have a child.
You know, it's really
nice.
It's
going to be such a good excuse.
It's so nice. Oh. And even, oh God, I mean... It's last night I had a gig, and gig I wanted to do or whatever, but it was one of those where they've put I promise not to talk about comedy for very long, but they ask you to come an hour before the whole show starts, and I wasn't on until the end.
What?
And it was an hour and a half's drive away, and I absolutely didn't have any childcare issues, but I did send an email saying, just to make childcare simpler, can I get there at 9?
Yeah.
And that was all right.
And what sort of absolute cunt would say no?
Exactly.
To that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that is probably a terrible thing to say on this podcast, but because there are so many, and also I think your antennae are up to other stuff as well. It's like that should be cool for a mum or for any parent, to be able to do that email.
Yeah.
Dads and other mothers too, like absolutely should be fine to do that email for anyone. And also I think those gigs that just sort of pay expenses if you're newer, any job basically. You put things in a completely different light when you're covering childcare as well.
Yeah,
I can imagine that's.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like there's a TV show on at the moment on BBC. We're like, well, my radar's like aware of things that are on about babies.
So what are the things you're watching?
So this.
What's it called?
This is called The Baby Has Landed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it's on BBC.
It's really funny.
Oh, cool.
The third week, it's six different parents to be and the baby coming into their lives. This week, it's been sort of the co-parent, the father, having to go back to work in a lot of those cases. So they've had their 2 weeks leave. There's one couple who are a gay couple and they've had a surrogate and they've got twins.
Right.
And one of them was just going, I don't want to go back and work on an aeroplane in a week's time.
Yeah.
So that thing of... That different lifestyle, I was saying with Carl, because, you know, he got gigs in the nighttime. There's not that same thing of going, this is your time that you have with your child, and now you go back to work after 2 weeks.
Definitely. There's that one dad on it who's got 5 children, and he could not wait to get back to work.
Really?
His wife is like, she's already talking about number 6. And like, you can tell this guy is just going along with it. You know, he's got this sort of look of...
Nigel.
He said originally, well, they said, how many kids did you think you'd have? He was like... I would have been happy with none.
Nigel!
And then it's just every time they have one, she talks him into having 2 more. Like, so he said, we'll have 2. And then after 2, she talked him into going for another 2. And like now they're on 5. So it's going to be 6.
Oh, it's an odd number. She's definitely having a 6.
Yeah, and she was talking to her 5-year-old about, what do you think about having another one? And the 5-year-old had this story about a rocket and how you can fit 3 people in a rocket. So I think we need another one because 3 of us can go in one and then we need 3 in the other one. Mom's like, great idea.
Yeah.
Have a 6.
She would be an example of somebody she is just a mum. That is her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She loves it. She loves being pregnant.
You can get addicted to it. Maybe you can get addicted to it.
Because
it's enormous. If you're, I don't know, it's an enormous rush. it's a massive endorphin rush, and the hormones and stuff are huge, you know. It is an enormous emotional thing to do. So I imagine it could be a little bit addictive.
Who was saying, one of our guests was telling us about that sort of the first couple of months, that you just almost felt this euphoric
high. I think your body gives you it during labour and then onwards to help you deal with the sleep deprivation. So it sort of puts you on another planet.
Yeah.
And adrenaline, it gives you tons of adrenaline and, sort of leaves you in a sort of twilight zone.
So I have a cousin who actually passed away this year, but she has 11 children.
Flipping heck.
Which is one of those things that you don't think really happens today.
Yeah.
Because I think she was only in her late 40s when she died. So they were kind of ranging from, I don't know, 29 or something to a baby.
Wow.
Which is, there must be some kind of addiction in that to just want another one and want another one. Because there's always that you know, that environmental responsible kind of children in the world.
Yeah, I wonder whether you could do surrogacy, actually, if you got really into... Because I saw something recently about surrogacy, and the women are like, oh, I love having a baby in my bod. But I've already had my three, I've already had my two, or four, six.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll keep having babies in my bod and give them to some gays.
Well, that's what that woman on the documentary, she just... Yeah. Yeah, she carried twins for these guys and she just enjoys it. She likes being pregnant.
There's a massive argument for making that legal in this country. Australia's sound with it, isn't it?
So what to do what?
I don't think surrogacy is legal here.
You can't get paid.
You're not allowed to, money's not allowed to get paid. Legally then, cross bit of envelope in it.
Yeah.
Back end.
So like,
that's so complicated.
Payment gift vouchers.
Yeah.
Book vouchers. Yeah. Like old book tokens. Yeah. Like the classic
Netflix subscription for life.
Yeah. Nando's black card.
Thanks for the baby.
Yeah. Thank you for my baby.
But is it just like at the party with sort of telling people yesterday, then there's those, you know, you'd start chatting to people about it, obviously. And so one of my friends, she's 35, and she said she's in a workplace now where they're like, we will pay for you to freeze your eggs.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I know there's quite a few workplaces that have started doing that.
Because it's expensive and it's quite an invasive operation.
It's like $5,000, I think, And so in order to keep women in work who are career focused, that they're offering that to...
It feels a bit like some sort of... like future dystopian film, doesn't it?
Feel odd.
Sign
but
on
I think,
to work,
I
and they're
think,
like, right, we're going to freeze your eggs, put you on a 10-year contract, you're not allowed to get pregnant. It feels a bit
weird. They still surely can get pregnant whenever they
want to. Yeah, I don't know. That would be interesting that you're not allowed to until you get your own eggs back. Yeah.
We'll get those for ones it in. Until you...
When you have your notice, they give you your eggs. There you go.
In a little... I want them to do it in a natural egg box.
We say when you get to do it.
Yeah. And who with?
Oh,
it's a really good idea.
It's a great idea for a film.
Maybe they're
guys
doing it with like Secret Santa, and they've got some of the guys that work there's junk, and then you just get an embryo, and that's part of Secret Santa to work out who you've had your baby with.
Yeah.
Biologically.
Good. Creating new generations of corporate. Nepotism.
Alan Anderson's grey suited babies already born in their little grey suits.
And then I had another friend who was saying, I think she's got a friend who's 37 and's at that point going, it's too late. I'm not going to, I'm not really with anyone. I'm not going to find anyone. And then, but I was 40 and it was happening. She was like, I'm taking a photo of all that. I'm sending it to her and going, just chill out and relax on it.
Yeah.
And someone else who, that thing of, I was a bit different to you. I thought I would have children one day.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that was always one day in the future. It was definitely nothing I wanted earlier in my life.
Yeah.
I was too into just like living my own life and not having to answer to anybody and doing my career and things. So the fact that as I approached 40, that became like, that's an actual sort of cutoff. And then when we looked into, when we got told about doing IVF and in our, where we live, that you had to do it before you were 40.
Ah.
If you wanted to do it for free.
Yeah.
That was like,
Okay.
So I was supposed to start doing it in May, but then I went on tour instead. So when we did it, it was like, this is the window.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Way flipping it.
One go.
So guess in.
And then there's other people who were on the way yesterday. Like Dave, apparently, said, I wonder if they're going to tell us they're having a baby.
Yeah.
A few people. Really?
Yeah.
Didn't, when we told my parents, didn't we, it come up, like the one that my mum said something or my dad said something, and then it was like, well, it's funny you say that.
You said, your mum said, oh, we've, I don't, well, we've got nothing more to talk about. We've run out of news. And you went, yeah, I've got some news for you. And she went, you're expecting a baby.
Yeah.
Oh. And he said, yeah. And then she was like, oh, no, 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 really? Oh, my God. She didn't think that was the real thing.
Yeah, oh. That's...
But I think, like...
Oh, it's so lovely. It's so lovely. I had, do you have, have you had, I guess you're new to telling people.
Yeah.
As in, like, but I had some sort of extended family lose their shit crying, like, really lovely emotional reactions, like, from my dad's ex,
who I'm
still friendly with, but, like, it was like, oh, and Lee, really sweet.
Well, I had,
like,
your friend, Kasia, she started just crying instantly when you told her yesterday. She was so
happy.
She's
a mum. She's a mum. Yeah. And she, yeah, she saw the sign and was like,
I have a blub. I have a blub when a good pal gets pregnant. Yeah. It is like, oh, yay. I don't know what it is.
But did you have that before you had a child? Has that, again, been a always thing for you?
No, I'm a lot more emotional about friends getting pregnant now I've had a kid.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? No, I was always happy for them. Yeah. But it's, you're happy about something you don't have any cognition
of. It's that thing of...
It's like a mystery, like, oh, theoretical congratulations. Yeah. We don't know how it's going to go. But now you're like... Oh, you can have this very intense thing. That's really, it is just so exciting and terrifying and exciting and whatever. But it, and also, I don't know, maybe not that enormous. I don't know. Well, that's helpful to say.
It's just so normal.
Something very emotional about other people doing the thing you've done when you know how intense and emotional it is. But I'm not saying it's something that you can't just take in your stride.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm trying to say.
And also something you don't, you don't have to do, guys.
Yeah. No. And I think, you know, I've had so many more friends be in your position than mine. And where they'd be like, maybe one day, I'm pretty sure I want to one day, you know, but there's nothing overwhelming me and there's nothing urgent about this feeling. It's not a madness. Mm. And I think, I mean, I've just roundly said to all of them, don't do it unless you really want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot more to do than not. I think there's such a weird stigma around the idea of, especially women who are just like, well, I'm not into it. And I've actually genuinely always looked at friends who are, you know, out of choice, child-free, and thought, fucking envious, really.
Yeah.
Because you're freer to do a million other things. Not to say you then can't do them once you've got kids, but you do have to put stuff... I've been thinking about stuff like... I guess I'd... my partner wants to do some incredible travelling at some point, and I was like, I think I'd written that off. But of course I could do that.
Yeah.
I just have to wait till he's a bit older, or I have to reconcile my fact to having... reconcile myself to the fact that that would require perhaps a few weeks away from him, or, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh... I don't know why I'd written it off. Yeah. But anyway, you do have to change plans. You do have to move into a situation where those things that you couldn't necessarily do without bringing them along, well, then you only... Margaret Caborn Smith put it really beautifully, a really funny actor. She just said, you just end up doing this stuff. You just end up only doing the stuff you really want to do. And actually, I've still had loads of stuff I really want to do.
Yeah.
So I've still done it. But... You know, you don't. If there's something you half want to do, you don't need to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's quite nice. Quite
good.
That's
good.
That's the excuse you're looking for, Carl.
Yes.
Yeah.
The things you have.
Finally.
But rather than being allowed to go upstairs to our neighbour's flat until 3:30 in the morning after our party had finished.
I was so hungover this morning. I almost cried at a Boots advert.
Oh, Carl.
it was Christmas singing. A girl gave her mum a present, and I was like, that's too much for me right now.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont. I do Crime Club. In Series 1, I spoke to people like this.
Did you not kick a policeman in the head?
Yeah, that was... When was that? I was 17. Wait, was I 17 or 19? I think I might have been 19, actually.
In Series 2, I talked to people like this.
There was a paedophile with one leg. I kicked him clean out of his wheelchair. About four of us... I mean, we battered him.
And this.
Cheating on your boyfriend to give him gonorrhea? Do you want to go there, or would you rather not?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it.
I have jingles like this. That's Crime Club, where strange people tell stories involving bad behaviour. New episodes out every Monday.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One of the other things yesterday was that, I guess that starts happening is people start asking if you think about names.
Okay.
Now, I think it's from a Seinfeld episode where George Costanza tells someone, he thinks it's the name 6 or 7 that he thinks is a great name for a kid.
Yeah.
He's not having one, but then suddenly he's told someone and they've got a kid called that name and he's livid because he's just told them the name and now they've taken it. That's in my head.
Is it? Yeah. So you think if you tell anyone else the names you like, they'll quickly have a baby first and steal it?
Or they'll tell someone else and then that kid will have that name.
Because
you can't help, like, whatever name for me that I think about, you associate it with other people, right? Go, do I know anyone called that who's a fuckhead?
Yeah, of course.
That cannot be a connected.
It's so hard to even hold firm on that, yeah.
I was going to say about how... Over the years, I've had so many people I know when they've had kids, and in the run-up to it, I've said, have you got thought of any names? And they're really coy about it and say, we've got a few. They never tell you them. They always say, we've got a few ideas.
Yeah.
And I've always thought, why are you being so... Just talk about it. And then, literally, it's actually... I've only just realised that. Everyone who's asked me about names, I've done exactly the same thing.
Yeah, you've got to. There's so many reasons. Yeah, it is protective. My reason wasn't, I think they'll pinch the name. But mine was...
What if they think it's... Or what if
they're fucking rude. People are fucking rude about your names. And even if they have tried to not be fucking rude, but they don't like it, you can tell.
Read it in their face.
You can tell. Yeah. You can tell. Not, you know, it's very rare, unless you're surrounded by amazing actors in your family. My mum had been so horrible, but it's harder to... I found it harder than I expected to not tell even my parents, because my mum, in the end, emotionally bullied it out of me.
Yeah.
To the point where I was angry, a little bit angry with her because she wept until I told her.
Yeah.
But before that, so my ex and I had nearly fallout level proper fallout level arguments about names because he wanted to call our son things like 01. What was the other one? Their names from manga. Gundam.
Oh my god.
Adolf was genuinely on his list, half as a joke. Ooh. And but every human being name that I suggested, he'd be like, nope. And so we were just at this horrific checkmate, you know, stalemate. And so I would go to my mum to slag off the names he was choosing, and she in her panic then, and that was bad of me, you know, use a friend, don't use your mum for that, because she's invested in this kid, you know, first grandkid on both sides. She was then suggesting names, and that is awful. That is when you've got a grandparent going, what about Zach? What about Zach? What about Zach? Zachary's nice. Zach's nice. Zach's nice. Zach's nice. Isn't that kind of bizarre? Because she's thinking, right, they want something a little bit sci-fi, a little bit techno. And you're like, no.
But in the end,
in the end, she forced me to tell her, and I was raging because it's such an effort not to tell the people you love this name. We'd had decided one because once we found one we agreed on, we were doubling down. And I just thought, I said to her, I'm not even going to look at your face. I cannot bear it. I don't want my own mum to hate what I'm about to call my kid. Once it's happened, it's done.
Yeah.
And I didn't even tell. My dad was just like, oh, God, because it wasn't John, you know.
Is he Rudy?
He's Rudy, yeah, but his whole name's Ludacris.
Is it?
It's
Rudy short for, it's not short for like Rudyard.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah, so
that was a name I said.
Yeah, I think Jimmy McGee said it.
Oh yes, really? Jimmy McGee did say it.
Because we talked about Rudy came up, we like, and then Jimmy said Rudy. Yeah.
Well, it got to the point where Rudy was always top of my list, and to the point where I had said, you can have your last name, because my ex's last name's Robinson, and I thought Rudy Robinson sounds super cool.
Yeah.
If I get to have this first name that I love. And we had honestly had so much argument, and in the end we were on our way home from a friend's kid's birthday, and in the car, Mikey said, all right, we can have Rudy Robinson. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. And then just sort of mumbled, if his whole name can be Rudyard Jericho Robinson. And so that is his whole name. But even to this day, Mikey hisses at me because if we're in public and he goes, Rudyard, I'm like, oh, shut up! Fucking embarrassing for everyone. Fuck off! Also, we had a really funny thing after he was born, because I had him in Lewisham, where I live. We had three different health care professionals, a nurse, a midwife, and then a health visitor, all black women from South East London, all say the same thing to me. You do realise Rudy is a black name. And to every single one of them, I said, well, his whole name's Rudyard Jericho Robinson. And every single one of them went, fair fucks. What, literally the whitest name I've ever heard. You can have that.
Jericho's cool, honestly, though.
I like Jericho, and that's grown on me loads. And Rudyard, also, I think, is an abomination, and I will take every opportunity to apologise to my son.
And
as soon as he can, as soon as he can shift it, he never has to use it. It's on his passport. I'm currently in a conversation with his dad about, please, 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 can it not go on his school forms?
Yeah.
Because I don't want that read out at the beginning of every day. Rudyard! In Catford, can you fucking imagine? Jesus Christ. He's never going to have any lunch money beyond 11 a.m. He's, honestly, I can't do it to him. I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, Ruth.
Because there's some other names.
I like the idea of just giving them a couple. Yeah, me and my brother don't have middle names.
Right. Yeah,
our parents
are
just good old fashioned poor people. Just give them one, and that's what they get: Carl and Wayne.
Yeah.
And so I like the idea of giving kids a couple of names, and also something like something they can shorten themselves, or you know, they can create their own one that they like. Yeah. You know what I mean, so I think it's a nice thing to give your kids options.
My when I had him, my agents. Boss, so like my old agent's boss, so like the head of the agency, emailed me, and she'd never emailed me before. And I'd sent them a picture of him and said, Rudyard Jericho Robinson. And she'd replied saying, with a name like that, it better be fucking important. And in that sense, I think, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind. Do you know what? I feel bad for saying I'm slagging off my own kid's name. I don't mind saying it, and I don't mind it written down. I just don't like the whole name Rudyard said out loud. There's something in it. Yeah. It twists the not posh part of me, and I don't like it. I particularly don't like how his dad says it. But I am.
My second name's Mivanwi. Gosh. And my mum wanted that to be my first name, but decided it was too hard for people to try and spell say and all that kind of. And so, I mean, I tell people, I remember I knew how to spell it when I was little. And as I grew up and told people what my middle name was, I say it's my Fanny, but you change the second N for a W, which is how you spell Mivanwi. And when we got our wedding certificate back, and checked it. That's what our celebrant had put. It said Hannah, my Fanny. Which I realised we've still forgotten to change.
Yeah.
We've got to do that when we get back to Australia.
Just leave it on there forever, please.
Hannah, my Fanny. So yeah, it's a good thing. I think it wasn't my first name.
Fanny is my middle name.
One of these danger shit.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
I've got a friend who, daughter was called, middle's name is Danger.
Yeah, I've got friends, and my guide daughter, actually, I've got, not goddaughter, but like the equivalent for some very ungoddy, very lovely friends of mine have got a kid called Willow Mystery Bowskill.
What?
Which is the coolest name. And they're pregnant now with their second one, and I don't know, they're having a surprise, but I know the middle name will be Adventure.
Bloody hell.
Oh, fucking badass.
I've got a good friend of mine's got twins. She was real hippie. She and her partner were living in a teepee in the desert in Western Australia at the
Serious
time. Like,
hippies.
Yeah, proper. Her name's Willow.
Yeah.
Changed from her actual name. And
I want her actual name to be so corporate. Teresa.
Rudyard Jericho.
Yeah, Rudyard Jericho Willow.
And they made a decision that their kids, they would name one each because they were twins. And so there's Aurora, who Willow named.
Yeah.
And then Scott named Bilby Desert Pea.
Oh, that's great.
Which is like,
Bilby is like...
Bilby's like a little Australian animal that's like a rabbit.
Yeah.
And at Easter Bilby. We have
so they're Bilby
Bilbies.
And Aurora.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But Desert Pea.
Yeah, that's another name. Because that's an Australian desert flower.
I mean, it's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super cute. I do want Bilby Desert Pea to grow up to be a brick shithouse who has to say that their name is cute thing cute.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They're both, I mean, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Gorgeous girls.
Desert Pea and Bilby. I mean, they're shit hot nicknames.
Yes.
For a baby.
Yeah.
It's whether you go, do I want my baby to have a nickname?
Yeah.
So I can't ever judge anyone again. I think that's the one thing you have to, when you put your hand up and go, I kowtowed to a partner's choice. I did something silly to keep the peace, and I'll have to forever apologise to my kids until we can get that default and change it to straight
but
up.
But not
Rudy.
So far as 0-1.
No, I just want him to be able to take the yard off.
Yeah.
Rudy Jericho Robinson's fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Another thing I've been thinking about at the moment is exercise, because I was seeing an acupuncturist throughout kind of the during the IVF stuff, and I love that, and I was going to see an acupuncturist at other times anyway. And she'd said to me during the first trimester, she was like, don't do any exercise. She's like, you need to take this easy. You can walk and things. But I'd been doing yoga during the kind of IVF preparation, which I was loving, because I go through phases. You know, I'm an exercise phase person.
Yep.
And I was really enjoying that time of doing yoga every day. And then I had to stop and I was like, I really feel like doing it.
I'm sure
and
you
now
could have carried on
that I'm, and she was like, I don't ride a bike just in term. There was just things that I took on that extra caution thing. Because of, I don't know, just the very conscious nature of the whole process. It was like, I just took on those things. And cause there was just things like, she was like, riding a bike, if you have to brake suddenly and then you tense and then that could do something. So it's like, that's being very super cautious.
Super cautious.
But I know that like you're into weightlifting and doing really strengthening stuff. Did you exercise for your
pregnancy? Yeah, I did. I remember I didn't do anything like the research you guys are doing. I had some acupuncture, but just once my son was very overdue, actually.
Yeah.
And I had it. Nothing happened. I think I was already about 9 days overdue. And then I went back to the same lovely guy and he was like, right, we'll go again. And then it really worked.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was that, but it was like, anyway, no, what do you ask about exercise? So at the time I had only just started to get into weightlifting a little bit, probably for about a year up until getting pregnant.
Yeah.
But I was doing it with a friend. It's before I'd had a trainer or anything, so I didn't really know what I was doing. The friend definitely knew more than me, but he was more into bodybuilding than training for strength, which is what it turns out I'm really into.
Yeah.
And so he was, you know, he was all about getting sculpted muscles and all that shit. And I mean, he'd dare ever tell me what to eat, we would have fallen out. But it was fun, but also I wasn't close enough friends with him that I wanted to tell him I was pregnant before I was telling everyone I was pregnant. So I had a really awkward thing with him where, so I felt similar, I vague nausea. I remember weirdly having a bit of nausea about week 13 to 15, I think. Yeah. But I never heaved up, and I just felt very, very tired at times during the first trimester. And I didn't particularly want to exercise. And then it got to the point where I would be going because it felt like I wanted to keep something up, but saying to him, I don't feel great, I'm going to just take it, can we just do upper body or whatever? Yeah. And then he would want to do loads of ab stuff. And the one thing I had read was, all your muscles are changing and you can get, even if you try and do certain ab stuff too quickly postpartum, your muscle splits in the middle of the top of your tum, doesn't it? It's ready for a bump to grow.
I don't know.
And so if you start doing like crunches and stuff like that too soon, you can keep that split there for longer. That needs time to heal. Right. Basically, you shouldn't be doing a load of sit-ups straight after having a baby. Yeah. And I imagine during most of pregnancy. And he kept going, right, let's do some abs. And I was like, I don't fancy it like that. And then it got to the point where, and he'd never been like it before, but where I think because he thought I was slacking, he was like, come on. And I had to go, I'm pregnant. And he was like, whoa, and he shat his pants. And, and he was like, oh, fuck. And I was like, and then even then he was a bit like, well, it doesn't mean you have to be lazy. I was like, kiss my dick.
Yeah.
Yes. It means I'll do what I want to fucking do. So I went at that point, stopped weightlifting. Especially because I wasn't under very sort of professional guidance. Yeah. I think if I'd had a personal trainer that had understood what you can and can't do during pregnancy, I now know people can train all the way through pregnancy. You just pick and choose what you do a bit more carefully and you follow your body's lead, I think, and you go what you want to do. But I still have I'm really into swimming. I've always been into swimming.
Yeah.
Phasey, I'm not into it at the moment.
Yeah.
But I got into swimming for the rest of my pregnancy. But then I was quite cautious. My cousin, who's a GP, had done loads of swimming during her pregnancy, but she'd done breaststroke and she'd given herself some really painful thing with her hip through doing that leg action with breaststroke. So I'd never heard that anywhere before. So I was making sure I only did front crawl. She's obviously a little bit more knacker in, so I didn't exercise. I think if I have another kid, I will for the benefits for my mental health try and keep a bit more movement up. I did try and do a little bit of YouTube yoga, but no. I wasn't weightlifting through it, and actually it took me a couple of years to want to again after I had him. And I just did swimming and more pootling about, type, just slower, gentler moving for a couple of years after I had him. I felt like I was running around in my life a lot more in a sweatier way after I'd had him. I guess because you've got a person on you or near you or attached to you or touching you. I just was a lot sweatier for a couple of years, worth giving you a heads up.
It's good.
Just as generally a sweatier person.
Prepare to be sweaty for a few
I think
years.
It sort of counts as all of your exercise once it's out. I've got
a Fitbit.
Yeah.
And
oh, God.
I've noticed the past like two or three weeks, about once a day, there's a crazy spike.
Right.
Like, just for no amount of time, but just like spikes up to like 120, 125, like it's right into the red zone and then comes down. I'm like, what is that about?
What's
like?
Well, you're not just building the baby though, you're building the whole house for it at the moment. That's the business. It's a pop fucking science from a comedian, but it's one of those things you hear and go, well, it makes sense. But the reason why it's so exhausting is it's the building all the placenta and all the gubbins. It's as much as the baby.
That's what, when we spoke to Wendy Wason, she said she'd heard it was growing a matchbox to the size of St. Paul's.
Yeah.
And so she took a matchbook to St. Paul's.
Oh!
She said she had to actually look at it to go and make
shit.
Sense of
what yeah.
Because at the moment, mine's supposed to be the size of a jalapeno.
Oh!
That's what it's saying. That was that app that says.
Yeah, I love all that.
What was it last week?
Apricot.
Apricot. Now it's a jalapeno.
Yeah.
God, that's so funny. I think of an apricot as a little bit bigger than a jalapeno.
So do I.
But maybe it's just stretched out.
Lengthwise, yeah. Mm.
Just sort of longer. Yeah. Might still got the girth of an apricot with the length of a jalapeno now. Yeah. And what are we talking? Bird's eye or sort of mild, large red?
Oh, no, one of the green jalapeno.
Like a proper little. Looks like a padron pepper.
A padron pepper, nice padron. Yum, yum, yum.
Jalapeno Donnelly.
I wish they stopped making our babies sound so delicious.
Yeah.
It's annoying, isn't it? Yeah, it's funny that I do remember sesame seed. My kids still got a toy that someone got us when we were pregnant called Sesame Seed. And I do remember the difference between that and then realising you've got fucking pineapple in there or something massive.
Yeah.
Butternut squash. just you think of them as so heavy.
Yeah.
That's when you start thinking, oh, it's so boggling. But I think that carries on as well, the perception of the future being like, ah. I remember when, you know, I remember being around apricot time and thinking, fuck off, butternut squash.
Yeah.
but even once your baby's out, when you've got this tiny little newborn, you'll look at two-year-olds or even one-year-olds and be like, get that fucking massive, disgusting, scary monster away from my tiny baby. Yeah. Every slightly older thing, child, not thing, mum of the year, looks so terrifying. Mm-hmm. But that does stop now. With a four-year-old, I don't look at six-year-olds and go, get it away. It looks normal now. Yeah. It does level out. All the things that are scary just go away eventually.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing to know.
There was one of the books I was reading a couple of weeks ago where it was more kind of a general parenting. There was stuff about children, but a section that was about teenagers, and I was like, oh, fuck off, I do not want to know about how to deal with a teenager.
Fuck off. Yeah. Get fucked. Yeah. What a load of shit. I did a really inappropriate course just to save you the time.
Yes.
When my son was brand newborn, I went to a class on like baby health and safety or baby emergency health, like St. John's. Mm-hmm. An ambulance paramedic was running a course on baby, keeping a baby alive.
Yeah.
In emergencies. And and I got there and it was like, there was one family there with like a one, you know, 9-month-old or something, nearly 1-year-old. And the rest of us all had tiny newborns. We were all like on another planet, sweaty, knocked our tits out. Like, just kind of, with this prawn, you know, this cretinous tiny little prawn that just needed to be snuggled and fed and clean. Like, fuck all going on intellectually. And the whole course was this bloke, you know, just doing his job, I guess, but being quite scaremongery about choking. It was all about choking. I mean, that was, let alone don't need to know about teenagers. We didn't know about choking then.
Yeah.
And a really funny, I remember, and he was like, you know, showing us how to smack it on the back. And we're all there with these tiny, we were like, well, that would kill this one. So
yeah.
I'm not doing that. Like, you know, it was until a kid could even put things in its mouth. But at one point he was talking about being in the car and he was like, your child's in the back of the car. You would never feed a child a snack during a car journey because you might not even be in the same part of the car as I'm like, oh my god, yeah, I'd never do that. And then one family that had a slightly older kid were like, fuck. And we were all like, oh my god, I can't believe they've probably passed it like a bit of tangerine while they're in the car. Like, basically, someone needs to phone the police. And now you look back at that and go, I don't think I could do a 5-minute journey without him having about 8 snacks.
Yeah.
Of course he's eating constantly in the car.
So I had a thing last night because you were drunk.
Thank you.
And I was like, when you came to bed, I was like, which I've never thought of this before, but I was like, what if his heart stops beating? Like, I don't know how to revive him. And it was like, the first time of being, of going, he can't, like, nothing can happen to him now because he has to be here because there's going to be someone else who's going to be here. And he has to be here for
so
that.
My life now means more.
It does so. I had
to value you way more.
But it does because I think hormones are doing that to you. Not to take away from the magic and the genuine, lovely, gorgeous, in love relationship.
Yeah.
But I do think your hormones do something to you because I've heard it's quite common that you have like, I certainly did like quite horrific little daymares and nightmares, especially in that, you know, that moment where you're trying to go to sleep, which is often when you have lots of ideas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Getting really grim, like little, I still get them now a little bit, like you envisage the worst possible types of horror, but I would get, which I'd never had before, it just wasn't the dynamic of my relationship with my son's dad. We were solid and very in love with him, and really the one thing we will always do very well together is love our kid and parent our kids.
Yes.
And our kid is nothing to do genuinely with why we're not together. I would have the... But we've always had a relatively like equal sort of status dynamic in the relationship. He wasn't one of those partners. I think we've all had partners who were like, if they leave me, I'll kill myself. Like, especially when you're younger, you'd get into not great relationships, so they probably didn't love you back enough. But it wasn't that relationship. But I would have daymares when I was in pregnancy, and after I'd had the baby, I would have daymares that I was like, he's going to leave me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be the worst possible thing to happen at that point. Your dependency on your partner is something I don't think people talk about that much. You get this hugely heightened sense of it. Because it is the fucking terrifying, and you're in it together.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, some extra reassurance on that front for whatever parents not having the baby is. Yeah. It's never a bad thing.
Yeah, so I'm glad you woke up.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't have a heart attack because you got so drunk, Carl.
Even though you went straight back to sleep on the sofa after you didn't wake up.
Got up, did a sick, back to sleep.
Oh, God, that is a whopper. Yeah. That's a big, big
You've
whopper.
You've had your morning sickness.
Oh, yeah. Sympathy, morning sickness.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What?
No, this more time.
Carl's hand signals are always very.
This is when we sing
wind the bobbin up.
Yeah.
or it's coming to an end.
Five minutes, guys. 5 minute call.
Okay, I'm another a birthday present my mum sent me was a book on pregnancy that she had had when I was born.
Oh,
so it's from 1979. It's all kind of falling apart a bit. I haven't looked at it yet, but I'm looking forward to, because the page I flicked it open to in the kind of third or fourth month was like, for unmarried women, which, you know, I'm a married woman, so it's not my situation, but I'm interested to read what people thought was...
Yeah, what an unmarried woman was going to have to cope with. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And so that's coming up. We spoke to my dad. We spoke to my parents on FaceTime on my birthday. And Dad said he'd read a whole load of books.
Yeah.
Oh, like you are, girl.
Yeah. And the one piece... Do you remember the bit of advice that he gave you?
No, what was it?
It was the one thing that he took from it was like, prepare as if... you're going into a siege.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like, lots of canned food.
Oh, but it doesn't have to be that bleak, but fill your freezer up. And actually, the loveliest presents I got when I just had them were from people who sort of knew that. There's exciting about the prospect of a load of batch cooked frozen food, even though it's yummy, even if you've made really nice food. But like, the best presents were stuff like people that bought round... tiny boozes, because you don't want to get hammered, but you can drink again after so long. So like little bottle of bubbly for one.
Yeah. I got so many bottles of booze yesterday for my birthday.
It was perfect. Just like nice big posh ready meals from Cook or M&S or something like that. So it's effortless, or vouchers for your local takeaway. Or an aunt got me, and I've never had a cleaner since, but she got me. She was like, you find them, I'll fund it. 6 weeks of having a cleaner.
That's a great present.
Over nearly 5 months. I didn't care about cleaning as much as she does. Stuff like that. And that's the siege bit, because it is, you just might not want to go out for a bit.
Yeah.
And it'll be, and going out feels like such an enormous adventure potentially. Or you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But also prepare yourself for a lot of contradiction on that stuff. It's same with all the books. I don't know how you're finding it, but I didn't read that much because I was so scared of being overwhelmed by contradictory advice and not knowing where to go with that. And I thought I'd rather just film away. I did read bits and bobs. But even just the generational advice is so funny. I mean, it'll be so interesting if you're reading a lot through this pregnancy, then you then read a book from the 70s, that our parents were reading. Yeah. I mean, really funny. Some of the stuff my mum and my grandma were saying to me about, like, you know, I felt like the one consensus in everything I read before I had him was, when he's really small, you know, don't leave them to howl.
Yes.
It's the one thing they all seem to say now. I mean, to be fair, I didn't read any Gina Ford or any of even then now, I don't think those books say just, yes, bin them off. But my nana would be like, oh, well, in my day, she genuinely were frowned upon not to. You were meant to stick them in the garden if the weather was all right.
Yeah.
For a good few hours in the day. And the crying was genuinely meant to give them strength of personality.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that to think that they were, but they were doing morally what they were told was morally the right thing to do. These aren't, you know, and you're going, well, actually, you know, these kids aren't all murderers.
No.
I think please don't get too stressed out, but try and do anything perfect.
Yeah.
They're all voting Tory, but maybe that's...
I mean, there is actually, yeah. Oh, God, I do remember going to a baby sign language class, and it was just shortly after the Brexit decision, and I remember the teacher there saying that the reason we voted for Brexit is because... not enough people were attachment parented. And I thought, oh, fuck.
Fuck off.
I don't think,
a blog
I mean, fair enough. I'm sure a lot of our leaders and could have done with a few more cuddles, but I don't think we got a whole Brexit out of it, for fuck's sake.
And was there anything you wanted to ask or say? Have you got any more life left in you, Carl?
Or I've
you
not. Back to this hangover? Has really perked me up.
Hey! Oh, yay!
I feel back in the game.
Yay!
Yeah, I suppose I ask each guest what should I, as you know, the person who's very much just here in a support role for Hannah, what should I, is there things that you would recommend a partner of somebody who's pregnant be aware of or do?
Do you know what? I'm gonna leap quite far ahead, perhaps. And also, I don't know whether this is relevant to every dynamic, so it might not be relevant for you. But I would just say, if you desire to co-parent as much as possible, and if that's what you're going for, and you want to be as involved as possible, one thing to be really mindful of, if you can, is be a bit innovative in your approach to stuff.
Yes.
What do I mean? Do I mean innovative? I think I mean proactive.
Right.
If you see something that needs doing, just do it rather than asking, what can I do?
Yeah,
because I found that, as lovely as it is, the will to help, having to explain how my partner could help was as exhausting as just doing it myself.
Yeah.
And actually the management of everything, it got to the point, I think the best way I ever put it to him was, I need you to look at this home like I look at this home, which is as a list of things to do.
Yeah.
But maybe you don't do that, Hannah, and maybe you do that anyway. I don't know what your dynamic is. We were in a situation where my partner was desperate to help at more than, you know, as much as possible half, especially if you had a knocker feeding. There's not that much physically they can do early doors. So it's just a case of, I just need you to look at this home the same way that I do and not be like, what can I do? Because then I'm like, right, can you do that? Can you do that?
Yeah.
Which over the years, the management of how your partner can help enough is just as knackering as you might as well. You end up just going, I'll just fucking do it, rather than have to think of the things you can do. So just be proactive.
Cool.
You remind me of the maze from your show when you're going into the birth plan.
I think all I was trying to do there, and I'd done a plan, I'd written that plan, you know, he hadn't written the plan. He was like, well, I'll support you in whatever you want. And actually, that's how he works. It's great with the written down list, but once you've got your written down list, you've fucking had to stick to it. I hope all I was saying, and by relaying my birth during that show, is there wasn't a lot he could do in that situation. I had an absolutely mismanaged my expectations of my own strength and vulnerability in that moment, and he had to sort of go along with the ride.
Yeah. Which, if you know, if people can get a chance to see the show on tour, that birth story is one of the funniest stories I've seen on stage in recent memory.
Yeah,
it was so funny.
Yeah,
and it was. I'd say there was parts that were harrowing.
Yeah, horrid.
Of leave anything out.
No. But I mean, I did actually.
Oh, really? Wow.
There's sort of smells and sights in it. I didn't leave any emotions out.
Yes.
I think that's the other thing, that if you tell a birth story, such an imperfect birth story as that in a show, you do feel like obliged to talk to anybody expecting a baby afterwards to go, I do know so many people who've had the most extraordinary, empowered, amazing births.
Yeah.
It's not all like that. And it can go to plan. And it's just about, I think, I didn't know myself very well, so I made the wrong plan for me.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think be honest with yourself
about,
you know, how zen you really are, what your pain threshold's really like. And why, I think people who plan to have drug-free births, I think, have a really good look at why. I think I had a bit of an armour on about, I'm a big, strong, I'm a strong, old, strong, strong.
Yeah.
And actually, it's like, no, I don't think I needed to have that. And sometimes it's fine to need help.
Yeah. Good ending.
That is
thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been fascinating. Lovely remembering this stuff. And congratulations, and I'm really excited for it.
Cheers.
Wicked.
Yay. Bye, everybody.
GreatBigOwl.com. My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to. Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great eps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.